And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Hey, Dave, do you remember a singing group a few years ago, Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross?
I do not. Tell me.
Uh-huh. Well, they were a jazz, they were a jazz group, but their instrument was their voice. They were very, very important in the jazz movement. But the Republicans have the same thing. But they don't have Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross. They have Boebert, Taylor, Greene, and Lake. And where not Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross sang in, you know, harmony, these people sing in disharmony. But Lake, Harry Lake, really said something preposterous the other day. She has a solution to Trump's problems and to the nation's problems. All that has to happen, according to this paragon, this constitutional scholar, is for the Congress to decertify the election, the last presidential election. Then Biden will automatically be out. Trump will automatically be in. All the cases will disappear. How about that? Now, you told me last week you had read the Constitution, you went to law school, so what do you think?
You know, it's hard to know whether these people actually believe in what they're saying, or whether they're just that far out of it, or whether they're just trying to convince a certain following that is gullible enough to believe anything. They keep coming up with these crazy ideas. There's nothing that the Congress can't decertify.
There's no way to decertify, right? That can't
happen.
No,
the election became finalized really on December 14th when the electoral votes were counted, and it became certified on that infamous day, January 6th. There is no, you know, path under that.
And even Alito can't change it.
Even Alito can't change it. They keep coming up with these things. Now, you know, they had the idea not long ago that they were going to undo the impeachment, the Trump's impeachment, until they find out that there's nothing in the Constitution to say that they can do that. And they turns out they didn't have enough votes to do that in any event. But they keep coming up with these things. Now, I don't know whether they come up with them on their own or whether there's in the background. You know, it's been one of my theories. I call it the think tank strategy, where all these billionaires and multimillionaires paid for all these think tanks that sprung up beginning in the late 70s and the 80s. And I call them factories of bad ideas. But most of those ideas were within constitutional parameters. Now, there's like, there's just nothing constraining them.
Well, I bring it up because Trump's latest indictment leads him to a very interesting defense strategy, which is right in line with what Kerry Lake proposes. The strategy is to say, it doesn't matter how many people, lawyers, election people, experts, statisticians, told him he lost. He believed that he won, and therefore he's not guilty. In other words, there is rampant among the MAGA people psychosis. They all believe in whatever the psychosis they believe, and that is its own justification.
Yes. I think, therefore, it is.
I think, therefore, it is. Exactly. Now, I can't imagine that he's going to get away with that, Trump, that is to say, with this court case that he's facing. What do you think?
No. Well, he doesn't want to face it. He's asked the Supreme Court to intervene.
Yeah, but there's nothing for them to intervene with, right? Or about.
Right. But it's anything. And That's the other.
Which is another thing. They should intervene. He made up a legal structure that doesn't exist, and they should do it. It's just right. What Kerry Lake said: decertify.
It's not the first time he's been making these things up, and he's being denied in virtually every court. The only one.
No, but he believes it. He believes it, right? He thinks it could happen.
He says he believes it.
He says he believes it.
And
well, prove he doesn't. How can you prove he doesn't?
Doesn't. The test that they're talking about is, the willfulness of it. Are you, in essence, you get advice from all of the regular lawyers that you had, Bill Barr and Jeffrey Rosen and Pat Cipollone and on those folks who told you, look, the jig is up. There was no fraud. There's no way we can validly overturn this election. And he just keeps going until he finds some lawyer like John Eastman or Sidney Powell to tell him the opposite and then says, oh, that's the advice I'm going to take.
Eastman, he said this is illegal. This is unconstitutional, but give it a shot.
Yeah. That was the interesting thing. Yeah. Right.
Right.
The guy from the Claremont Institute.
That's right.
That's another one of these think tanks. You know?
The guy who finances the Claremont Institute is now the fourth largest money donor to the Republican Party. That's Eastman's boss.
Well, they keep, they keep on coming.
They keep on coming. But the point is, the MAGA movement is a movement that's completely ideological. It's divorced from any connection with reality. They'll say anything. They'll believe whatever they need to believe. So his defense is, in normal terms, I'm psychotic. Therefore, I should be president.
Delusional.
I'm delusional. Therefore, I should be president. I'm delusional. Therefore, I should be the one with the finger on the atomic button. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there something wrong there?
Well, there should be something wrong there. there should be. The other thing, we had this indictment came down, but there were six unindicted co-conspirators in there.
Right.
And
but we all know who they are, right? Everybody knows.
Yeah, we know five of them pretty certainly, and probably a good idea who the sixth is.
Right.
We know that number one is Rudy. Number two is Sidney Powell. Jeffrey Clark is in there. John Eastman is in there. I forget who the fifth one was, and they suspect Boris Epstein.
Epstein.
Number six, if it isn't him, it could be Steve Bannon. Or Stephen Miller, but they're pretty sure it's Epstein on there. And it was interesting the way that Jack Smith structured this, because he didn't muck it up with seven defendants. He just streamlined it. We're going after number one, and he could still indict the others, but he doesn't have to worry about seven lawyers making motions on this case.
Years in which he can indict the others, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's still got a few years to go. So we're going to see, how that plays out. But it's going to play out during the regular thing. The thing about Donald Trump, and they were talking about his demeanor in court when the charges were read to him, when he was arraigned. And he's realizing that this is one area that he can't control. It's totally out of his hands.
The judge kept him waiting an hour, sitting at the table.
Yeah, the judge kept him. And the judge, called him Mr. Trump, not President Trump.
Right.
And the judge laid out. Now, some of the things that the judge said were not particular to Trump. They say in every case, are you under the influence of any alcohol or drugs? That's standard.
Right.
Because they want to make sure that they understand the things. And to give them admonitions about what they could or couldn't do there. That if you violate the law while you're out on, effectively, it's parole or probation, that you can be hauled back in and be incarcerated pending the trial. No one has spoken to Trump or told him that in a long time, if ever. And of course, he went out the next day and started the same intimidation tactics, sending out one of his Truth Socials. If you come after me, I'm coming after you. It'll be interesting as to whether Jack Smith lets it go and doesn't want to tie the cord up, or whether he decides he's going to put it to the test, haul him back into court, have the judge put him under oath and say, what do you mean by that? Who are you aiming this at? We'll have to see if that happens. As I said, it's a discretionary thing by Jack Smith, whether he wants to muck things up like this, but who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? It's sort of like Trump daring and testing the limits of the court system.
Trump's strategy, his legal strategy is not legal. His legal strategy is political, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's always been his legal strategy. He mobilizes his base, and he pits his base against the lawyers and against the law. And by and large, he gets away with it because the courts are influenced by public opinion. That's always the case, right?
To a great extent.
I don't have to have it 100%. To a great extent. Now, let's look at the Democrats. The Democrats have a lawyer who's been remarkably successful in fighting for the Democrats on election law, a guy named Mark Elias, right?
Yeah.
He represents the Democratic National Committee, represents various Democratic state committees, and all of a sudden, Biden got rid of him just last week. Why? Because Elias, although he's a very good lawyer and he's very careful, unlike Trump and his people who sort of make up the law as they go along, he really is guided by the law, but he's benefited by the fact that in general he has the facts and the law on his side. But his point is, fight every case also in the media. First of all, fight every case. Don't give up on anything. And secondly, bring it to the public. And the Democrats, the Biden team, they don't like that. They got rid of him. They fired him. But here's Trump successful in that. So what do you make of that?
Well, that's, Elias goes back to the Clintons. Biden is more of a creature of the Obama people. And it's, in some ways it's practical. You fight just where, just enough to win. But on the other hand, really, a longer term and a more insurance type of strategy is, you do fight everywhere. You make them, defend, not just attack.
Yeah.
And we've seen the effects of this around the country, where the Republican parties of various states have gone to court on behalf of Trump on a lot of these crazy theories or these ideas and lost. And they've essentially spent their money. The Arizona Republican Party is virtually broke. Michigan, they're virtually broke. Pennsylvania, they were way down until they got an infusion. I forget who sent them a couple $100,000. But
Jeffrey S. is going to give them a lot of money, right?
Well, whether he'll give it to the party or not, I don't know. He's more candidate-oriented. But, it's the parties that do some basic organizing do some of the basic groundwork to get people on the ballot and also to do recruiting, those things. And if they don't have the money to operate, if they have to I guess it was Pennsylvania where they sold their headquarters in Harrisburg a couple of years ago in order to raise money. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's good. Although the Republicans tend to have an endless source of funds from these millionaires and billionaires.
Yeah, but you're right. It doesn't necessarily go to the party structure.
Right.
It goes, of course, Trump, it goes to campaigns.
Yeah. Now, Trump, of course, is bleeding the money from everybody else. You know, he's out there raising money, and he's using it all for legal defense, which means he doesn't have it for campaigning. And nobody else does either, because he's getting the donations from the mom and pops and whatever. You know, you remember way back when he first started to run for office, he says, I don't think I'm going to take donations. I'm a billionaire. I can fund this myself.
I think he lied.
Trump lied.
I think he may have lied. Yeah.
He may have lied.
I mean,
he's used this as a fundraising scheme for himself. And who knows?
Didn't he say in the last year of his term, I'm the only president who knows how to make money out of running for office?
Something like that.
Yeah, he said that.
Everything he does is a money-making venture for himself.
Right, right. But not now. Now he's spending the money. I mean, he complained in court about it. He petitioned the court to dismiss this latest indictment because he said it's costing him too much money. That was his reason. He said, I could be spending this money on the campaign. I have to spend it on lawyers.
Well.
So what?
You know, his history of spending it on lawyers is not very... very good. I mean, he's stuck a lot of lawyers. He's never paid Rudy. Remember, Rudy wanted to get paid?
You would think Rudy deserved to get paid. He worked hard.
But, you know, but Trump still uses him, and Rudy's still foolish enough to do that. Although you we're going to wonder what, you know, as an unindicted co-conspirator, what he's going to say eventually.
What do you make of Mark Meadows? We don't hear anything about Mark. He's not mentioned anywhere.
Mention that. Yeah, it seems that Mark has flipped. He doesn't seem to be one of these unindicted fellows. And he, of course, remember when Congress subpoenaed records, he turned some over and then said no, and the courts wouldn't make him do that. But now on this, he's been subpoenaed again, and apparently he's turned a lot over. He's got phone records back and forths. And Jack Smith probably has it from both ends of people who called and people who talked to Mark Meadows, or people who Mark Meadows called or talked to.
Well, if Mark Meadows is talking, I mean, who needs Cassie Hutchison?
Well, yeah, but you're right. But she may show up anyway. There's so many people, and of course Mike Pence.
But I mean, they yelled about her. They laughed about her. They laughed at her. They denigrated her. And maybe if Mark Meadows is doing it, what are they going to do?
Yeah. Now, you know, Pence talked under subpoena, and I thought one of the more remarkable things was his chief of staff, who was in the meeting on, I believe it was January 5th, with Trump and Pence, where Trump tried everything to browbeat Pence into not certifying the election and not counting the votes. And Pence, to his credit, stood tall and said, no, I don't have that power. I can't do it. And then Trump said something. And after that, the chief of staff of Mike Pence called the Secret Service and said, you know, I'm afraid we're going to have some issues tomorrow, and we're going to need better protection.
Well, he was prescient, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, all he had to do was listen to Steve Bannon's podcast that day. And I'm wondering if they have anybody that was in that hotel room the night before at the Willard Hotel.
Yeah, in the famous war room?
Yeah, the famous war room, yeah. That'll be interesting as well. We don't know. Jack Smith probably has a lot more than people realize. And he's going to go full bore. He's got a judge who is not likely to dilly-dally or delay things. We'll be fair.
And who seems to know the law, unlike the one down in Florida.
Yeah, did you hear she made another error?
In an unrelated case, right.
Yeah, in another criminal case. She's only tried like one or two criminal cases.
Right.
And apparently in this one, she forgot to swear in the jury.
Yeah, she didn't swear in the jury. Exactly. Now, even I know you're supposed to swear in the jury.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't know you have to swear in the jury?
Yeah, it's an amateur day. You know, that gives an opportunity to the circuit court to say, you know, lady, you're going to have a lot more experience before you're going to try this Trump case. We're going to take it from you.
Do you think they will?
I don't think it's that likely, but if they want it, because rather than have them have to decide her decisions in the Trump case, they could just bypass her by doing that and, you know, send it to another judge and not have to worry about things. Now, it'll cause an uproar, but what are people going to say? You know, we're going to defend a judge who doesn't even know the basics of swearing in a jury.
I know.
So we'll see. I mean, I doubt if the odds are more than 20% on that, but there's strange things that are happening.
Well, the one thing that isn't happening is the Republicans, the rank and file, are not deserting Trump. He's still up 54% over everybody else.
And he's got that solid MAGA base. There's a little bit of appeal, but not that much of it. But the other problem is that there's nobody here who's they're the gang that can't shoot straight.
Well, they DeSantis. Don't oppose him. They don't criticize him. I mean, except for Chris Christie, nobody attacks him. Yeah, just the opposite. This guy's going to pardon him. This guy says he's being badly treated. This woman says we shouldn't talk about it. It's preposterous.
Yeah.
How do they think they're going to beat this guy?
Well, it depends on why they were running. Were they really running to be the vice president or for a cabinet position or for the next time, or were they really running to win and just hoping that by luck something would fall into place?
But you know, the problem is if the Republicans really get smashed, if Trump really can't mobilize more than his base, and the independents really double down against him, and of course the Democrats, if they turn out, that could deal a body blow to the Republican Party. In general.
Yeah, because
it wouldn't be useful to be their presidential candidate in 4 years, from the next 4 years, because there might not be much of a party.
Well, they had their opportunity. You know, after January 6th, Mitch McConnell could have rounded up enough votes, another 10 votes or something, to impeach him. And he chose not. You know, it's the interesting the lie that they tell. You know, they justify it. They said, well, you know, it doesn't belong impeachment. If he committed a crime, let the criminal courts take care of it. And now that the criminal courts are taking care of it, they're saying, no, we don't want that either. You know, it's the same double talk that they had when they wanted to overturn Roe versus Wade. You know, it really should be left to the states. And then now that it's left to the states, they want to pass a national ban.
Right, exactly,
and then in the you know, in the small stuff that we've talked about, where you know local is always better, and then local does something, and the states say no, you can't do it, like you can't give water out to people,
right,
waiting in line or working,
right.
You know,
right.
That law is no good,
right.
There just is no, you know, rhyme or reason. There's no shame. There always was hypocrisy, but.
There's no shame, that's for sure. But the thing is, since there's no shame, and since they are really lined up behind Trump, if Trump goes down and the Trumpists go down, the maggots go down, there are no other Republicans. The other Republicans have long ago left. Conways are not going to come back to reconstitute the Republican Party.
Well, I'm not so sure, but the problem is they have no leader to do it with.
I mean, they have no followers.
Rona McDaniel Romney McDaniel. She doesn't like to use the word Romney. We'll use it for her. She's not going to reconstitute the party.
No, none of them. And the maggots who run the party, for example, the one up in Michigan, Karame, they're ruining the party now. How are they going to unruin it if they go down to defeat? They can't. How did the Whigs disappear? You know, people think parties last forever. The Whigs didn't last forever. They lasted, what, 80 years and or 60 years and gone, right?
Not even that long.
Gone. How did that happen? They disappeared.
Yeah, well, there was somewhere else for people to go. The Republican Party got formed in 1856. Remember, Lincoln won a congressional seat as a Whig.
Right. He was a Whig, yeah. And then there were no Whigs.
There were no Whigs then.
Yeah.
But are they going to call it the New Republican Party? We just don't know.
It's not going to be new labels, that's for sure.
Well, no labels. Maybe it is because there's the Republican donors that are backing them. Just like they're backing RFK Jr.
Yeah, but who are they going to appeal to? If the Republicans go down, the maggots, rank and file, they don't blast off to the moon. They're still here. They're looking for a fascist movement to support.
Well, that was the big thing that Trump said, you know, or he threatened. If you don't go along with me, I'll destroy the Republican Party. I'll take my 35% or whatever it is, 40%, and go, we'll just withhold them.
Well, there you go. He can and he will.
He can and he will.
Okay, so these people who, like the Haleys and the Scotts and the DeSantis, what are they waiting for? What do they think is going to happen? What is descending from the skies to bail them out?
But it's not something for them to latch onto. It's for something for them to be against. Remember, we heard Bill Barr come out again this week saying that Trump should be nowhere near the Oval Office. And then they ask him, well, if he's the nominee, you're going to vote for him. And all of a sudden it's, well, I might, you know.
Tell me about that.
Chris Sununu did the same thing. The reporters are not going to follow up. The question of Chris Sununu is, well, here you've got a guy who said he's going to terminate the Constitution. He's going to bring in all this, authoritarian stuff. And you've taken an oath to the Constitution every time you've been installed as governor. And you're telling us that you'd still vote for him? And
so the answer must be he had his fingers crossed when he was taking the oath.
Well, it didn't count. Well, I hate socialism,
these people really think Biden is a socialist?
Oh, I was talking to a guy the other day who's been a lifelong Republican, a pretty long Republican, and he's not a Trumper, to his credit. He's a lawyer, and he understands Trump and his followers. But he's telling me about how much he hates Biden. He hates Biden.
For what reason?
So, that's a good question. Do you hate him because he passed infrastructure? You hate him because he capped the price of drugs? What's the genesis of the hate?
I'm not in love with him because he gave us Clarence Thomas, or he helped give us Clarence Thomas, but that's something else.
Yeah, well, Clarence Thomas is something else.
Yeah. Anyway, we're done. We have no more time. That's something else.
It's going to be another interesting week, I think, coming up.
Yes, I think this week will be interesting. Yes.
Our eyes will be on Georgia. Yes. Georgia will be on our mind.
Yes, because the DA down there has mobilized the cops and created a cordon around the courthouse for all of next week. So she's planning on doing something. We don't know what. Something.
We'll know next week.
And there's a very important election next week in Ohio, where they effectively are trying to do away with initiative.
Well, just the initiative about abortion rights.
Initiative over things that they don't like. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I've got no doubt that if they're saying that it now has to pass, the vote is to whether it has to pass by 60% or the majority.
Right.
And I have no doubt that if they put the 60% in and the abortion rights initiative doesn't pass, that they'll go back to the 50%.
We'll see. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.